Well, Brent is gay, and Kaylin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. It's Homo Superior.
Hello, and welcome to another amazing Homo Superior Creator Crush. I'm Adam, and co-hosting with me today is our very own resident who's always on his knees behind the actor studio, Brent Wingate. Hi, Brent.
Hi.
Creator Crush is an interview series where we chat with our favorite nerddom creators and entertainers, learning more about their work, their thoughts on the industry, and what makes them so darn special. Today, we're joined by an amazing and astonishing quadruple threat. He's a bi-coastal actor, singer, dancer, and now director, thanks to Hoakling and Wiccan Love is Power. It's Nathaniel Dahlquist. Woo! Hey,
Hey,
Nathaniel.
everybody. Hi. So nice to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, we hope you survived the experience. How's like, well, let's just kind of get into it. I think you were at WonderCon. Let's talk about that just like really, really quickly. Like, what was your experience? Are you a big con person?
I was at WonderCon. WonderCon this year was my second convention ever. The
Amazing.
first one that I went to was LA Comic Con in November. And that's because I had started talking to some of the Hulkling and Wiccan writers and artists, and they were like, "You're coming to Comic Con, right?" It was like Thanksgiving. It was like a week before the con. Absolutely did not have a ticket or have a badge. No plans at all to go. And I was like, you want to meet me? Yeah, I'm totally coming. Yep, already bought it." So that was a lot of fun. And I've done a lot of videos on this, but like, I can't believe that I never managed to get to one of these things before because it is delightful. It is so wonderful. And it's never perfect, of course. People have their complaints, but like, I don't know if I've ever seen so much creativity in one place, like ever. Just, I mean, stall upon stall upon stall of these artists with their booths and all of this stuff. And it's just like, it's so fantastic. I love it.
That's great. Well, yeah, and I feel like Brent, you and I and the rest of the Homo Superior crew, like we were maybe doing Awesome Con in DC, and then over the years, especially because of this podcast, I feel like once you get connected more and more, you just kind of keep finding yourself wanting to go. And it's an incredible experience, to your point, of just the amount of energy and creativity that that people are bringing in.
Well, there's also the thing. I think you had the traditional con experience, which is I'm not ready to go to this con. Suddenly I've got to get a ticket and get there. The unpreparedness for your first con feels like a staple. It's like something you've got to do. They call it Con Crush for a reason.
Yeah.
Everybody, the whole last week, all of my friends, relatively new friends, like within the last 6 months, are like, "Con Crush, Con Crush." And like, their cosplays didn't come in the mail, or somebody stole them, or they think they broke, or something happened. So now I know. Now I'm better prepared.
Well, so let's go back in time before WonderCon and take us on this journey, how a little boy in Overland Park, Kansas went and ended up performing in over 55 countries and painting yourself green.
Overland Park, Kansas. You did your research. Wow. Yes, I did grow up in Overland Park, Kansas for the first half and then moved to Denver, Colorado, Highlands Ranch, Colorado, to be specific, for kind of the second half of my adolescence. And yeah, it's been a pretty crazy journey. I've lived in a lot of places. I've traveled a lot. I am a professional singer as well. So the countries that I've toured to have all been mostly through a cappella groups, as well as on cruise ships and other things. So yeah, I grew up in just west of Kansas City on the Kansas side, and was kind of the fat little kid who didn't know that there was something extra special about him. And although my parents figured it out, I think. But I love musical theater. I love to sing. And I was a very squishy boy in a lot of ways. I was very emotional as a kid, very like big feelings all the time. And I'm just like,
You had those
I'm
like window sills, or what is it, like the ponds, the SNL sketch? I don't know if you remember that. It's
oh
like for little
yes
boy.
yeah yeah totally. And one of the things that really helped me through some really tough times in my life, and the bullying and the feeling that I was different from other people. I also was a pretty smart cookie in school, so I was further alienated and always had like a fantasy or sci-fi book on my desk. And I was into shows like X-Men, like the new X-Men 97. Like, I watched the original when I was a kid, but comic books, like the physical comic books, weren't really my thing growing up. But I could tell you, I could play Ocarina of Time with my eyes closed. Like, I could literally get you through any Zelda game from, ever created. And so Yeah, I got through that time, and this is all coming back to why I made Hulkling and Wiccan in the past year. But I felt really supported, and I felt seen by certain characters, especially in sci-fi and fantasy. I loved that escape. I in basically every game I've ever played, I play a mage of some kind. Like, I just love magic and magic systems. Huge nerd, have read a lot. I read a lot of books. So that was
Were
that's a
you creating like men identifying characters, women identifying characters? I feel like I was always the hot girl
Oh,
wherever possible.
that's actually a good question. I found some of the male heroes really admirable. And when the Avengers movies started to come out, I really, really admired Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth, for more reasons than one. Like, yeah, are they aspirational? Sure. Did I also think they were really, really hot? Yes. I didn't know that's what I was thinking, but it was true. And so, seeing those guys up there, I was like, wow, like that's super cool. I wish that I could be like that. And I wasn't. I was really overweight as a kid. I weighed, 240 when I was a freshman in high school, and just got like shoved into lockers in eighth grade, like the whole kit and caboodle. And being a nerd didn't help. And I
Were people, so I
after
do have a question. Were people bullies in both Kansas and Colorado? Because I would have pictured that Colorado would be like a little bit nicer.
Colorado was slightly better. The theater program at my high school was pretty catty there for a while, when I was a freshman, but I was really shocked, slightly dismayed, but also glad that I was, not suffering so much anymore when I lost 60 pounds in high school through diet and exercise, 'cause my doctor told me I'd be dead before I was 40.
Oh, wow.
And so I made that change, and people were less mean to me after that. So I got through it okay.
And you really learned a life lesson that day, which is get hot and people will leave you alone.
Honestly,
The hard
I wish it
lesson.
weren't the case, but
As a former fat kid myself, I sadly feel and recognize the exact same thing that you described.
as someone who's
Yeah.
always been beautiful, I don't understand this at all.
And you are beautiful.
Yeah.
You are beautiful, Brent.
Thanks.
But all, skipping forward quite a bit, but now in my artistic life and what I want to create is, and I will probably get emotional about this, but stories that support people who are also in that position. And one of the things that I have learned, to my great delight and surprise, at these two cons that I've been to, is that the Venn diagram of comic book nerds and LGBTQ queer people, like the whole rainbow umbrella, is like an eclipse. They really just like overlap. And the other thing that I learned is that the other amazing community that's there is neurodivergent people. And I really like that community. Ooh, I'm emotional about it. That community is really important to me because those folks need stories too, and they need to be represented as well. And everybody knows queer and neurodivergent people now. Like, we live in a time where, like, is it perfectly safe? Absolutely not to be those things. Is it still a real challenge? Yes, especially if you're growing up in certain places, but at least the visibility exists now, and people, I think, are kinder, especially the younger folks. Younger generations, I think, are just like, what is it, 30% of Gen Z identifies as, a rainbow person now? Like, yes, love it. Oh my God, it's almost like if you're just free to express yourself, you can kind of be whoever you want, and people can should just leave you alone.
No, totally. Well, and it's like everybody, thankfully, the kids are all right because people are growing up with, we're making progress, right? Like I look at people that are younger than me and I'm generally really happy with where all these trends are going because, it's not as though I think there's always that conversation of like, well, why are there just so many more gay people now? It's like, well, it's not that there are even. It's just that everyone's actually able to live, be themselves, talk about their experiences that aren't just like straight heteronormative white experiences. So I hear that 100%.
Right. And that's, I think, what people want to see now, because even straight heteronormative people are bored.
It's very
And they
true.
know those people. And so it really, it's everyone. I really think there's more empathy in the world than people give it credit for. And I think that especially if the studios can be brave and start telling stories that are representative of the actual, like, human populace, I think they will be rewarded with fandom and money.
I
So.
know, I love that. Well, on that note, let's talk about Alien and Witch Love, which is somewhat
It's
close
a
to
classic romance trope. He's an
that.
alien, but
But
he's a
he's a
witch.
witch. Yeah, let's talk about Hulkling and Wiccan Love is Power. So with Hulkling and Wiccan Love is Power, the 6-episode fan series explores the relationship between Hulkling and Wiccan, aka Teddy Altman and Billy Kaplan, as they navigate their life together. Can you give our listeners a more authentic elevator pitch than me just reading logline copy that we took from your uploads?
Yeah, of course. So I love these characters. I have loved them for years, ever since I first saw some fan art of them and was like, who's that? And I really thought that their story needed to be told, but I wanted to do it in a way that felt authentic to their relationship, which in the comics is kind of silly. And they love each other and support each other, but like they joke around and they kid each other and they kind of, you know, ribbing each other with their elbows all the time, just kind of like, and it's cute and it's not catty in the way that I have experienced a lot in gay culture and in a lot of gay relationships where people will say things to each other. I'm like, actually, ew, like that wasn't very nice.
Hey, and why are you attacking our podcast? Leave us alone.
there's a fine line between gentle teasing and being an absolute bitch.
That's right. Yeah.
And so many gay couples just cross it by a wide leap.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually feel pretty strongly about that because The relationship that I want to have one day, I hope, is really close to what Hulkling and Wiccan have, what Teddy and Billy have, because they're supportive, they're kind, they really see each other. Yeah, they have fun. Yeah, they joke around. Yeah, they totally like make jokes at the other's expense, but they also, they're fiercely loyal to each other, and it's never meant to be hurtful. You know, the way that they joke around is not something where it's like, oh, maybe you should actually like do more therapy. Like that came from a place of pain and brokenness, what you just said. Like, how do we, maybe we could talk to a therapist about that one. So I wanted to create this series because I really identify with Hulkling a lot, and I wanted to embody that character. And God only knows, God, whose name is Kevin Feige, only knows if Hulkling will make an appearance in the MCU. You know, it's possible that he'll be in this year with Agatha. Right. But who knows? Who knows? There's a lot going on over there, so we don't know. And I was like, I have to make this. And Evan, who played Wiccan, you know, I was just going to do a photo shoot. I was going to say, let's get some wings. Let's like have a one day thing. I'll get painted green or whatever. And I asked him, I was like, would you want to be Wiccan for this photo shoot? And he's like, why is it a photo shoot and not, why aren't you filming it? And I was like, well, it's not my IP. Like, I'll get in trouble. And he was like, why don't you tell the story the way that you want to tell it and worry about getting in trouble later? Which is perhaps not sound legal advice.
Ooh, Disney attorneys would disagree.
Yes. I'm sure they would. But as of this moment, I haven't heard anything. So I released all 6 episodes plus a bonus and haven't received any communication from them, and I'm just really grateful that everybody was able to see it. So, you know, that it doesn't mean it's the end. I could still totally get a cease and desist, but I'm grateful that they allowed me to put this out because I think it's really wholesome, and people really, really loved it. The response has been really, I mean, I was hoping people would like it, but people coming up to me at WonderCon this weekend being like, this meant so much to me in the same way that's exactly how I felt when I was a kid, you know, and I saw things like that made a huge difference to me. And I hope it can be that for other people because we need these stories to be told so that people can have models of relationships and see themselves in a genre they love. And I feel only good things about entertainment and, you know, creation going down this path, because by representing more aspects of the human experience, we're including more people and showing people that they belong and that there's nothing wrong with them and that love is power. Love is love wherever it is. And doesn't matter who's got it. So
Adam and I are pretty obsessed with the creative process itself, and we don't want to get into any spoilers about, you know, the actual show, because we think people should watch it. You can see it on YouTube, on Nathaniel Dahlquist's YouTube page. It's also available on Instagram, on his Instagram of the same name. So I'm curious, you know, developed the idea, you're directing it, you're producing it. One of the things that's super hard as a creative is having that balance of like the perfect being the enemy of the good. Were there any times where you kind of came up against like, oh, this is like really something I need to have happen, or I need to have to cut this? Like, was there anything that was left that you would have liked to have been able to explore more?
What a great question. Yes, thank you. And also quick thing, I actually didn't direct it
Okay.
because I have made that mistake in my artistic career before where I try and direct myself in things and like, can I write it and then do it? Yes. Can I direct it and be in it? I do not have those
Gotcha.
skills together. My friend Luca directed it and did a great job. But to be honest, it actually really expanded past what I thought it was going to be. We shot for 2 days in Las Vegas, and one of those days was in the house where we shot a lot of the like Modern Family style interview stuff. And then the second day was at a studio that I rented with all the lights and things built in. And it was a little bit guerrilla, as in we just kind of, because I didn't write a script. I wrote plot points, and then Evan and I improvised the entire thing. So everything was improvised, which made my editor insane. And so we just kind of had some things that we knew we wanted to hit. And so I knew about how many reels, how many videos I wanted it to be. And then we kind of went for it. And, you know, as I think about season two, maybe, slash the more evolved pitch that I do have ready for the actual show, there are many, many, many places that we can go. And I just wanted to see if people would respond to this in the way that I do and like love this kind of bantery thing, enjoying each other's company, put something kind of marvelly, like true superhero stuff at the end. And I have like just a CVS receipt length list of ideas for other things that could happen with this. So it actually expanded far beyond and cost much more money than I originally anticipated. So,
Well, so
yeah.
the inspiration, if I'm not mistaken, it was that you watched WandaVision, loved that kind of TV format, and then adopted the Modern Family type sensibility from it. Are you a Modern Family fan already, or was it more like, I kind of just like what they've done in the MCU? Would you have used any other template if you couldn't use Modern Family, say?
It's more the latter, to be honest. I am not like a huge Modern Family stan, although I do enjoy it. But what I found in that style is that it really feels intimate with the characters. And one of the things that I believe is missing from the MCU right now is a feeling of intimacy with those characters and a feeling of like the relationships matter and your relationship to them matters. Because it's just one grand epic story after another. And I love that. I mean, I love epic fantasy so much. Like, this bookshelf behind me, I've read every single book on here. It's like, you know, just series upon series of various authors. But I wanted people to feel connected to Hulkling and Wiccan almost just like so that it would be easy for them to see themselves in the relationship and feel like it's something that they recognized and could, like, you know, understand really easily. And I did love WandaVision. I think it's freaking brilliant. I just love the way that they created that show. And I also was like, okay, well, if they kept going with the TV idea, like what would be the next decade? Like, what's Wanda's next decade of TV? Like, what does this look like? Because they kind of stopped right before she does have some like candid interview style, but they didn't really get past that. And so I was like, oh, well, where would it keep going? And I really believe that the best part of that show is Wanda's relationship with her family. So between her and Vision, between her and the kids, all it just felt so real to me. And when I watch past MCU movies with the two of them in it, with Wanda and Vision, I'm like, oh, this was actually always here. Like they just did such a phenomenal job of Elizabeth Olsen is amazing. Like Paul Bettany's amazing. They just really did such a great job together. And I thought, okay, well, what if her son picks up this style and tells his love story as the continuation of her story? And so the little intro music on our cards, I haven't told anybody this yet. The intro music on our title cards is the love theme, the Wanda and Vision love theme. So it is a theme that Christoph Beck and Bobby Lopez wrote that people don't recognize, like the way they recognize Agatha All Along or the WandaVision theme, that WandaVision. But I took it from, and I showed it to Bobby Lopez. So
Just to
like
be
he's seen it,
sure,
he knows what we did.
yeah.
But I wanted to pick up where they left off and say, here's where this the way this love story continues, and even use the same musical themes for it. So
do you think that if it was a modern, if it was the next decade in TV for two gay men, that would be a Real Housewives style show where they are bringing the tea, they're bringing the drama?
Oh my God. Very possible. And yeah, and I also considered, you know, like a Will and Grace type thing, like, mm-hmm. like where does queerness sort of start to enter into pop culture? I am a big fan of the original Star Trek, like Gene Roddenberry's original Star Trek, because of what he, the way that he chose to leverage that incredibly popular show to really move the culture along. The first interracial on screen kiss, like all of these really important events, and firsts, a lot of firsts, and the way that he sort of leveraged the alien witchness of it to show people things, and they didn't get up in arms about it because it was sci-fi and fantasy, and so it was slightly alienated, to use a term, out from what they understood that to mean, and so it was easier to accept. And I think that that is a way that we can, you know, get that in there, because we're not there yet. Like, yeah. This still doesn't exist. Like, I made a version of it and it exists, but I made it with money I made myself from my day job and produced it and made it happen without any studios or anybody in power saying, good job, go for it. So we have a long way to go.
Well, we kind of talk a lot with creators on this around the content for LGBTQ people in particular having to always be 101 as well. So that element that Hulkling and Wiccan are long-term, like not necessarily adults, but certainly older than just typical teens. They're not just young Avengers anymore. There is that also that missing link, because I'm assuming that if and when they come, it's going to be more of a teen-driven vehicle, which is totally valid, very like happy for that, but we're still missing some of those stories where like any sort of person, it might be like a 40-year-old gay person or a, you know, 35-year-old lesbian or 50-year-old something, like just having more of, like you were talking about before, representation of experiences that aren't just the pigeonhole, maybe like what has sold in the past or what people like are used to for inviting new people in. There's just like a lot of opportunity to tell stories that are just everyday for people, rather than just they're coming out or things like that.
Yeah, well, and we're getting there. You know, there are more queer stories being told every day, which I'm so thrilled about. And like everybody always comes back to Heartstopper with this, because like Hulkling and Wiccan are, I mean, like they might even be cast with the same actors.
We posted a million memes that it's like, cast these people if you're going.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly Joe Locke, right? Like we anticipate, it would be very surprising if he's not Wiccan and Agatha, very surprising indeed. But like that story is about young people coming out at school. And like, God, I wish it had been that easy. And like that lovey-dovey, like what a lovely world that would be. But I don't see a lot of stories about men in content, like kind monogamous relationships in their mid-20s to mid-30s. And part of the reason for that is because if it's kind and loving, it's not very dramatic.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's why the superhero aspect of it is important to me, because you can put this relationship in these circumstances that test it. And I think that's fun.
And the funniest stitching, because obviously your movie references Modern Family style filming, like I think Cam and Mitchell are actually, I think they attempt to be the concept of what is a content and happy couple, but like, especially in a show like Modern Family over the years, like they become almost caricatures and toxic to each other, to your point earlier of just like, why would these two people be together if every fucking day they're constantly arguing? And literally neither one of them seems to take each other seriously. So just another good example of while, you know, there's bridging gaps. It's like, what's the authenticity? What's the reality of what folks are really experiencing?
Right. And, you know, when the movie Bros came out, I was so excited to go see it. And it was a huge, like, we just laughed so much in that theater. It was so much fun. And then without spoiling anything, towards the end, there's some pretty vicious, like stuff that happens between the two of them, and I was like, God damn it, like this had to be the end of this movie, because it's like the big fight and the big blowout. Yes. But like nobody who's been to therapy or who is like a kind person would ever say something like that to the person they love. And I want to tell the story of people who are really trying their best and who are resourced and show people because, yeah, okay, maybe it's not as dramatic and maybe not as people watch it because it's not like, ooh, like catty gaze, like let's go watch. But we need those models of relationships to be seen as well so that people know it's possible. And that people aren't basing their entire like thought of what a gay relationship is on, well, they just pick at each other until, you know, somebody throws up their hands and screams, you know.
I was going to say on the plus side, there was that VH1 or maybe MTV reality show about like, what is it, Brad Goreski and like a bunch of other LA gays. I thought that got canceled pretty quickly because I think gays A-list? Love watching housewives yell at each other. We do not really like seeing ourselves on screen at our worst.
No, we're always like, no, I could do it better. I could be better. Yeah,
put me on that show.
So you released a little extra Easter special. And I guess the Jesus wasn't the only thing rising when Teddy showed us that the couple have a sex bell, which yeah. is pretty gay. So we wanted to put these two characters, Wiccan and Hulkling, against each other in a game we're calling. So what are you into? We're going to list a gay stereotype, and we want you to tell us whether you think Hulkling or Wiccan is the one who would be more into this particular thing.
Great.
Okay, so first one is being a fan of Dua Lipa.
Wiccan.
Going to Puerto Vallarta.
Also Wiccan.
Drinking iced coffee.
Also Wiccan.
Oh my gosh, Wiccan is so gay.
Well, Hulkling's an alien, right? He's still getting used to these gay customs.
Yeah, can you imagine having to come out on a galactic scale?
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm going to run this empire. By the way, my consort is this twink over here. walking faster on a sidewalk.
God. I still want to say Wiccan, but I Hulkling takes big steps. So
I feel like I think he would be more impatient.
Yeah.
Going to a circuit party.
Probably Hulkling.
Going to the afters.
Ooh. Might also be Hulkling.
All right, and last, seeing themselves as a reality TV star.
I think that's probably Hulkling too, actually.
Yeah, I think he'd love to see himself that way.
Yeah.
You passed. Great answer.
Yeah, you passed. Congratulations.
Yes, well, you know, one of the things that I spoke to Josh Trujillo about, who wrote the Possibilities Hulkling and Wiccan comic, which is where they are like under a spell and in love with other people.
Yeah, that's a good comic. Yeah, we talked about
that. Is one of the reasons that's my favorite Hulkling and Wiccan comic. And the reason for that is because there is something so deeply gay about it, which I talked to him about and he confirmed that like one of the things that's spicy about that comic is that Hulkling becomes the small one and Wiccan becomes the big one. So there's very much a like bigger guy, smaller guy, whichever version of that you're into, whichever kink of yours that appeals to, because there are many of them, you know, there's that relationship exists between them as well. And so to see that inverted is like really fun.
Yeah.
So I will tell you one thing that I really hope if there's a season two, I hope this happens. It's in my pitch. Also, I really want a body swap episode.
Ooh,
that'd be super fun.
Those are always good.
Do you?
Because.
Oh,
that'd
sorry, go
fun.
On.
No, that I just think it'd be really fun and also gay.
When you're kind of envisioning like additional seasons, I'm sure you're, you know, open-minded, whatever you could produce would be great. But do you have any particular, you know, things that you'd like? Like you want to do longer episodes, more story arcs, or do you want to do more vignettes? Is there anything that you're kind of really, you know, interested in trying with these characters?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I started with when I was developing this idea is like, so where do they start and where can they go? Like, what are their weaknesses now? And what can they learn? And what do people learn between the ages of like 25 and 35? And so I think I really want to show that despite being superheroes, they still come home from work and whine about work. You know, there's still like the emperorship is not all just like fun and games. And I think there's a really fun contrast between Hulkling, like needing to be this serious, like monarch, like in front of these two warring empires that he's trying to unite, and then coming home and being like, oh my God, babe, Can you believe what she said to me in there? Like, what should I do? Like, that was so awful because everybody knows what that's like. And so I'm really, really interested in bringing like that experience into they're really a couple who happen to be superheroes. I remember hearing the show Charmed described this way, I think, by some of the
Yeah,
actresses, which is that
yes.
they are sisters who happen to be witches,
Yeah.
not witches who happen to be sisters. And that was an important distinction they made when they were creating the show. And that, I believe, was also really key to its success. And when I look at shows like Charmed and Supernatural and Friends that are really about the relationships with, some extenuating circumstances thrown in, like Friends obviously doesn't have like monsters or aliens in it, but one of the reasons I think those shows were able to run for so long is because the central thing that people are tuning into is to see how the relationship grows and to see how these people do in various circumstances. And when there's magic involved, it can be anything you want it to be. So I'm really excited about the idea of this truly episodic format, because another thing that I think is tough about Marvel right now is that to watch anything, it feels like you have to have seen 10 to 15 movies or TV shows beforehand. And like, that's homework.
Yeah.
I was going to say, everybody seems to agree with you because the returns are not so hot on those
Not
properties and
so
they're in
hot,
full
which
swing.
you know, like I think there's something to be learned from that, but I want to create a series where you can just drop in, your friends can say, let's watch my favorite episode, let's watch this one, and you really don't need very long to get up to speed about like what's going on. And then you can just enjoy it and you can like see the hijinks and like see what's going on. Of course, I want to have like overarching plots, and there's got to be a season finale, and like, I obviously some cool fight scenes and stuff, but I really think being central, like really making the relationship central, is important. And I think that people have had enough of watching aliens destroy New York. I mean, like we were super into it there for like a decade, and there's still something to be said for it. But I think that if Marvel can embrace their characters and really make them lovable, likable people that the audiences want to come see how they grow, I think that's important.
Yeah, I think there's something
So
interesting about the format of like a 10 or 11 minute like animated show, often like Adventure Time or something, where you could show it to a friend. It's pretty short, but there's always something a little extra that's an undercurrent, either thematically or actually plot-wise, with this larger arcing show. And Wiccan and Hulkling, has that in it. So it's got like something that it can build more on, which I think gives both the long-term fans something to look forward to, and the general structures are something that people can consume immediately.
absolutely. And I will tell you that my pitch for the show is 8 25-minute episodes. And what's crazy is that what I made is basically 12 minutes long. Really, it's less. It's like 11
Yeah.
minutes long. But I also, when I was editing these together with my editor, was and she did such a great job about this because she edits for reality TV. And so she understands how to pace it and how to make it so there's no fat on it, there's no space, and I think that a quick, fun show like that that you actually get to watch and enjoy the whole time for 25 minutes, not too long. You can totally watch one, or you can watch four and like not be, set back too far on your schedule for the day. I think that would be really fun. That's the show I want to see. And that's where I come from in in the way that I create things is like I want to make stuff that I would enjoy because it's stuff that I love, stuff that's important to me, stuff that would have been meaningful to me as a kid, but also stuff that I want to watch now. And this is what I want to watch now. So here we
Love
are.
it. Yeah, I don't know if you as you're describing all this stuff, I think of Abbott Elementary as a really good next evolution of the Office slash Modern Family style, because while it's obviously season over season continues to get a little bit more crazy, it is still so firmly rooted in grounded characters that do truly have different perspectives, different values, and watching that all work out while also still being very funny in a 22-minute time span is just, it's a lot of hard work, but it really pays off.
Yeah, I like to. My favorite quote is a Leonardo da Vinci quote that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. And
Interesting.
I really believe in that. For my own work, I really try to adhere to that because I do think that things that are simple reach people like more easily because they just don't take that much to unpack, or they're not that complex. And simplicity doesn't have to mean it's dumb or stupid. It just means that it's easy to access and easy to understand. And that means that people can engage with it on their own terms without having to, you know, sit there and take a test.
See, that's what I meant, Brent, when I called you simple before this recording started. It's not buying it. You have no interest in this.
I'm just going to sit here on the pain and the judgment.
I do want to talk a little bit about kind of your other work, or at least expanding us out further. So you've had a lot of theater experience. You've played the titular Tarzan. You've had some great roles in Cabaret, Rocky Horror, Wedding Singer, Mamma Mia. If you could do a Marvel-themed musical, what non-Hulkling and Wiccan characters or teams would you choose? And how would you want to see it? You know, you don't oversell it. Just give us something like a little bit of a taste.
Totally. Well, I was too late on the auditions for the Rogers musical at Disneyland.
Oh,
and
right.
While I was actually doing Tarzan while that was happening. And so I didn't have too much FOMO, but like it would have been really fun to play Cap in that. That would have been super fun.
I could see that.
As far as a musical, okay, so I sat in the third row for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Ooh.
When it was in New York.
Yeah, the George Santos play. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And I don't think they had to hold while we went on the night that I saw it. But I mean, there are really amazing stunts in that show, but it really lacked like a story.
I saw it too, yeah. I hear you like, 100%.
Yeah, like the spider stuff was like super fun.
Super
it was
cool.
So cool. And like it even opened with like people on swings, like literally weaving a web in front of the audience. It was so amazing. And I'm also a circus artist. So I do aerial straps and fly around a lot, do, you know, some rope stuff, and which I used all, you know, for Tarzan. And I really think there's a lot to be said for, you know, casting some people who can sing, dance a little, and fly around in something that'd be really fun, I think. And it doesn't have to look like circus, but there are so many skilled performers in circus. Let's make it safer than Spider-Man, but like I really think that would be fun for an audience to watch.
So you're saying you would do a Madam Web musical?
Oh my god. I don't know. Is it just the same sequence over and over and over again with slightly different
it's
outcomes?
It's literally the same plot, just with a couple of extra little dance numbers thrown in.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, we'll got she is such an interesting character in the comics. She's so enigmatic and like crazy, and I just like, what a fun idea of a character. Like it's my favorite thing about comic books is that these people are unhinged, some of them. Like, and they're fun. They're like crazy and wacky and have weird powers, and it's like, how does that work exactly? And they're just great.
It doesn't have to be overbuilt, particularly in comics. It never has to be overbuilt for a specific viewer or audience, where I think a lot of other media sometimes does. So, you know, why we end up with so many, I feel like when characters come to screen, they're like, oh, you think they're going to do that plot from the 70s where like they were mind controlled and then killed the president and then was like slept and traveled 30 years in the future. And everyone's like, no, of course not. But you having all of that is what makes the comics so exciting to people in so many ways.
Yes, although I will say something that I learned from reading a lot of these comics and speaking to a lot of comic book authors is that these comic book authors, their understanding and relationship with these characters is so deep because it's serialized.
Yeah.
Because they have written for these characters. And yeah, it's a comic book. It's not a movie script. But some of them have written hundreds of comics for specific characters. They know them better than anyone else. And I really think that the movies that have been really successful are ones that stick pretty closely to the character building that has already been done, because it's been done over decades. Like, these characters have evolved over decades. And one of the flaws of Hulkling and Wiccan, in my opinion, is that there just isn't enough of them. Like, I really think there's so much to explore there, but the Young Avengers are just not, I mean, they're 20 years old. Hulkling and Wiccan are 20 years old now. And there's only, I mean, they're only in, what, 20 to 30 comics, maybe? And little cameos in Young Avengers stuff, but there's not a lot that's just about them either.
No, that's happening a lot in X-Men as well, particularly like the new X-Men. I think we talk all the time that there's such a, it's honestly why with the MCU, I'm like terrified of all the rumors where it's like, oh, Tony Stark may come back, or it's like, no, like, why? Stop wasting your time mining what could feel easy. and start building out these characters for the 60 plus years that a bunch of others have had all that time. Go ahead.
Well, in Marvel's defense, it's not just their problems. There is an absolute like dearth of like genuine storytelling and creativity in all of Hollywood right now. Not to say that there aren't things that are amazing, because there absolutely are.
Yeah, but I'm going to see the first Omen this weekend. So that is new and original and very unique, I would say.
You can tell it's original because it's called The First.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I thought, was also an original standalone property that is also releasing soon.
Yeah, but I genuinely believe, in more and more is being written about this, that the reason for that is because there's just no young talent that's allowed in. I mean, there is some, but, you know, there are young people with new perspectives don't have jobs at those studios because, you know, the folks have been there for 20, 30, 40 years. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's just, I don't think it's a huge mystery why these stories are not resonating with the greater American public or the world, because I just don't think that people are really in touch with what it's like to be a young person and or a queer person or somebody who's growing up feeling like, what is this world that I've inherited? And like, where, like, who am I? Who are my friends? What is my generation here to do? How screwed are we? Like, and, you know, I just don't think there's a lot of stuff that addresses that or that shows us, that shows young people that there's goodness too. You know, there are beautiful things coming. I have actually high hopes for the Wicked movie because I love Wicked so much. I actually auditioned for Fiero in that movie, which was a huge highlight, like just to get to go in for that. But it looks like it's going to be really fun and whimsical, and the people are really talented, and it's just, I hope it's really great because it looks fantastic. So
love it. Let's talk about a couple of the films you have been in. So you've got horror comedies like The Gore, The Brat, and The Ghostly, thrillers like Most Beautiful Island, dramas like Pam, action like Steel Tango, and even slice of life like Roommates. A lot of genres to be swimming through. What are your favorites to either watch or be involved in?
My favorite genre I love sci-fi and fantasy, and like that's the dream, is to like get to play some of those big characters and really embody that. But honestly, as long as the team really believes in their project, and there are some things that aren't on there that never got finished because, you know, that it just doesn't always work out. But when people are passionate about the story they have to tell and are really investing a lot of themselves, that's what makes it fun for me as an actor. And we didn't really go through my whole like my whole saga of, you know, I went to Yale and have a theater degree from Yale and then like moved to New York and lived in New York for 7 years and then got stuck in a cruise ship for COVID and like for 2 months and like all of these other things. Oh yeah. We were in Barbados. I did not suffer. We couldn't get off the ship, but we were not in any place that was hostile, which I was grateful for. But like when I was in school, what they didn't really teach us how to like the nuts and bolts of an acting career, but they taught us how to find what we loved and put it up. And that was one of the great things about going to Yale, is that they were just like, what do you want to do? Let's do it. Here's some money. You paid enough money to be here. Here's some money back. Like, here's, you know, you want to do a musical? Do a musical. You want to do, and we learned a lot that way. I performed more than any of my friends in conservatory programs because you just got to do whatever you want. And you, if as long as you had enough hours in the day, go rehearse, go sing, go play an instrument, go do whatever. And all of those things have really given me a holistic view of what it means to create, because it's given me respect for people in all kinds of different, vocations. And you know, I played a lot of roles like in musicals and plays in college, but also behind the scenes. I produced a lot of things, I directed things, and I think that's important because we have to learn how to work together. We have to work together. And I also believe that that collaboration, people who are willing to like give a little, get a little with creation and making things, that is what makes really cool stuff, because then people have, you have multiple perspectives, and it doesn't mean that anybody is wrong or anybody has the right answer, but I feel like we get closer to the right answer if we're collaborative and genuinely listening to each other and trying to make something that is the best possible thing it could be. And I was lucky to have that on Hulkling and Wiccan because everybody on my team really believed in the project. And that, I mean, I paid everyone. And I think that's really important because I really believe in paying people who are experts at what they do. And, you know, people can do things for free all they want. That's great. But I really want to pay people involved in my projects to give them that financial, like some sort of stability so they can buy food, you know.
Very and pro that.
When, and when artists are well taken care of and feel respected and feel honored, they are able to not have to worry about, do I need to buy the less expensive can of beans at the store this week because I don't have any money? And they're able to do what they do best, which is create stuff and make the invisible visible and work together to make something that's meaningful for others.
So, you know, going back to your time at Yale, some people may not know, but during your time there, you were a member of both the Yale Spizwinks and the Yale Whiffin Poofs. For our listeners, what were these besides very obvious indications that you were as queer as a $3 bill?
Yes, that's true. Wow, that is a deep cut, you guys. I'm so impressed. Yes, so the Spizwinks were my underclassmen a cappella group. And I was with them freshman, sophomore, and junior year. It was about 18 guys. It was all male at the time. And we toured three times a year. We sang almost every single weekend. And the money that we made from those concerts, which we business managed ourselves, why like a 19, 20-year-old is allowed to business manage like an like a legitimate like nonprofit is like kind of crazy. But we went around the world to sing. And so I've performed on every continent except Antarctica and been to 55 plus, I think it's more now, countries as a singer. And what I learned from that travel, which I'm so grateful for, because what a unique like way to see the world, is that there are lots of different ways of being a human being. And none of them is more right or wrong than anything else. You know, every culture is different and they hold different values and there's nothing wrong with that. And like when I went to India, I was so struck by just how differently people live. Like they have completely different customs. They eat different food. It's just so like completely different from an American lifestyle. And I was like, wow, like I really have something to learn from this. Like it really broadened my mind and showed me that, you know, there are a lot of ways to be a human. And I think it's easy to judge people, but that's just like it's not a good idea, but it's also just like, it doesn't see the whole picture. If you're like, well, that person lives differently than I do, you know? So
you limit yourself by putting someone else into a box that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Whiffin Poofs were a 14 person all male, also a cappella group. And we took senior year off from school. So we finished junior year, took a gap year to go around the world and sing. We sang about 250 concerts in that year. And our summer tour was probably, I think, around 30 countries. That was over 3 months. So it was pretty bananas. And I probably don't have the stamina to do that again because I'm old now. Yeah. But it was a really special experience. However, and this is something I want to talk more about like in my life, but you guys will be the first ones to hear it, which is that some of the worst bullying I endured in my life was in that a cappella group, the Spizwinks, my freshman year, from gay people. Because Yale is the gay Ivy, one in four, maybe more. Although with Gen Z, it's probably even more now.
It's gay enough to have catchphrases about it.
Yes, that's right. And we were also the gayest Whiffs ever, to my knowledge. Like our group of Whiff and Poofs was maybe like 7 out of 14 or something like that. We were the gayest Whiffs ever.
I was going to say, with a name like Whiff and Poofs, it was probably all of them at all times, I would have assumed.
Yes. Yes, although I swiftly grew tired of like older men using that as a slur. I was like, yeah, you're so funny. But one of the things, I wasn't out yet when I was a freshman in college, and I was pressured at parties and pressured on tour and in many different types of circumstances, not to hook up with anybody, but to be like, why don't you just come out? Like, you're just gay. Like, just be gay. Like it's so awful that what are you hiding? Like, what do you have to prove? Like, you're not straight or whatever. And that was really traumatizing for me. And I went to therapy for the first time that year, which I was grateful for, although it didn't really help. That therapist wasn't great, but I really learned that some of the worst bullies can be gay people to other gay people. And it has to stop. It's really not acceptable for our community to be at each other's throats like that. And I think it is already better in most circumstances that I've seen. Certainly in that particular context, I think it's much better. Now, it was a very particular group of people, but it's not acceptable. And there we have enough problems as queer people in this world without making other queer people the problem.
Well, that, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've had gay friends who I thankfully have like been relatively soft, even towards straight people that are just being allies and going out. I'm like, we've all kind of aged out of that. But right, I think I'm hoping that, again, the kids are all right and that people are learning better, because yeah, it's never a pretty sight, and it's led to actually a couple of arguments amongst like people. So I agree with you. Gay people can be awful, just as awful, I should say.
Yeah, and I mean, as they say, hurt people hurt people. So, I mean, a lot of us have trauma from childhood or have, not really been able to be our true selves, especially in early college. And so in some ways, like I don't hold them quite to the standard that I would now with people that I know, but I really think it's worth the community examining itself and just looking at what our behaviors are towards each other and always trying to come from a place of wholeness and kindness rather than trying to tear people down. And I've been so grateful with Hulkling and Wiccan because I have felt so supported and built up by the queer community in telling this story. And because I mean, there's nothing really to pick at it in the first place. I mean, it's such a wholesome, like, cute thing. It's like, what do you like Heartstopper? It's like, what are you gonna like be mad at Heartstopper? Like, why? Like, it's so I'm very grateful for that. But that's one of the things that I want to embody and teach with my storytelling is that that is possible, that it's possible to be kind to each other. And I know I keep coming back to that, but it really is important to me because people were not always kind to me. And I don't want that to happen to other people.
So, Marvel is recruiting people for their new a cappella group. And we're going to give you a list of names, and we want to know which team you'd join and why.
Oh, great.
So we've got the Magnetones, the Fantastic Chords, Age of Apocalypse, Acapellips, the Atonals, and Guardians of the Harmony.
The Atonals? That's hilarious. Wow, these are impressive. You worked hard on
I wish I didn't.
that. Well, I have to pass on the Atonals because while that is a very like that is an excellent name and something that a Yale a cappella group would totally name themselves, like the risk of actual atonality is simply too great.
Yeah.
Is the Magnetones, the Magnetones, whatever, are they like all X-Men? I'm here for that.
Yeah. It's like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, but they sing.
Oh, I'm super down from that. It reminds me of the like group of evil characters in SpongeBob who like get together and every villain is lemons
Oh,
evil.
yeah.
That I would be down for that. I bet you Magneto has a pretty great voice. I bet
Oh, he's coming in like a
Mystique.
baritone.
Yeah, Mystique can probably sing too, I bet.
Oh, yeah, she could change into anybody she would want to. I
Yeah,
like it. Banshee or
exactly.
Siren on that team.
Oh yeah, exactly. Although there's gonna be one dud. There's gotta be one lunker. And it's probably Scott Summers, but you just never know. Like he might be able to whip it out, but I don't know. Like let's ask Lenore who voiced Rogue on X-Men 97 and the previous show also and get her to sing something for us. She can audition with you.
Yeah, I feel like Scott is somehow like he's the de facto leader, but no one really like he's not the best singer on the group.
He's the
Totally
business
agree.
manager.
Do you
Yeah.
think, okay, so given X-Men 97's exploration of Rogue's powers, I will say no more in case people haven't seen it, but there is an episode where Rogue takes on some surprising powers, I will say. I wonder if like even if she couldn't sing, she can just hold somebody's hand. We call it in shoe because you make a horseshoe shape. So she just holds somebody else's hand in shoe and like their stamina goes down really quickly, but like she can sing.
Yeah, every
She
time she's about to go on stage, she just juices like
That's
a
right.
junior, and she's like, by the way, sugar, I'm taking this.
Yeah,
And
that's
that's her
right. I just
tones.
need it for a bit. I'll give it right back.
Yeah. She hospitalizes a person at night.
I honestly though I don't need Gambit to have one more thing. Like, if he can also sing, which I'm sure he can, I just like I that man has too much already. Like, we don't need to give him more positive traits.
He
I
can
feel like
cook, he can
dancing.
wear a crop top, he can gamble, he does it all.
So wrapping us up until we get to a little bit from more games, you were also in a little series that made quite the cultural impact with over 900 episodes and 14 seasons in just 7 years. Yes, we're talking about everyone's favorite, Darmon, with episode titles like Watch Single Mom Is Shamed by Soccer Mom, She Lives to Regret It, and Mean Girls Shame Teen for Anime. This small budget short film purports to portray the problems with modern society. You starred as bodybuilder number four in a season eight episode called Bodybuilders Make Fun of Little Person. How did you get into the character of Bodybuilder Four for this riveting and visually spellbinding experience?
Yeah, walk us through your process.
Oh my God, this is fantastic. This is the real roast right here. I absolutely spray tanned for that, but I didn't have a lot of notice. I don't even know if I auditioned for that or if they just like literally like put like my agent submitted me and they like covered their eyes and just like pointed at a headshot and got mine, which I kid you not is how I have been cast in things before. What a great industry. And yeah, it gives all of us actors a lot of hope. And it was only like a couple days in advance and I showed up and one of my really good friends from New York City was the lead and he's
Oh,
ripped. He's like
everyone was
super.
really hot on it. Like
Yeah.
every single person on
Oh
the
yeah.
episode was very
I'm like,
hot.
who is this
100%.
older trainer? Like, what's
Oh
going
yeah.
on? I
Earl.
guess he's kind of got it going on.
Oh yeah, you know what? I did audition for the lead that my friend got that role, actually, which was great. And it was so funny because they like spray tanned and like did some contouring on the leads to make them look even bigger. And the guy who played like the lead of this thing, the like little person that the bodybuilders were like making fun of, that guy was so jacked, I couldn't believe it.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
do not mess with this man. Like, he killed it. He was so great. And yeah, the process. Ooh, well, I definitely just like hung around on set and like didn't eat until after the shoot was over. It was quite an experience. We shot it at some like tiny little theater in maybe like Koreatown or somewhere in LA. It was in LA and it was a dubious venue. I'll put it that way. But everybody was safe. It was totally all right. But yes, that was a wild, wild experience.
I had so much fun looking through, going, what the fuck is this? And finding out that there are so many of these shows. All right, let's talk a little bit more about you. We're going to do power ranking. So we're going to give you three things, characters, paces, whatever, and you're just going to give them your nondescript ranking of them. We want to obviously hear why you want it, but we don't have any specific reasons why. We want to hear from you how you would place them and maybe what the what you're using to create your ranking. So
Okay,
first we're going to do,
is this a first, second, third type thing? First, second, third, or like a.
I'll give you three and then you rank them and you tell us why you might be ranking them that way,
Thank you for
essentially.
getting out a pen and paper so you could do homework during this podcast.
So, first category is Young Avengers. So you've got Hulkling, Wiccan, and Speed.
Okay.
So give
Oh,
oh
of
that
the.
no, we'll go through them. We'll go them at a time. Yeah. So give us with amongst Hulkling, Wiccan, and Speed, how would you rank them and why?
I have to put Wiccan as number one because his powers are cosmic. And as a chaos twink, he is a like such a wild card. And I adore him. Then Hulkling after him, and then probably Speed. Speed is great. I've always wanted to see what his relationship with Billy would look like as if they were adults. Because there have got to be ways that he can play pranks on Billy. Like, that has to be their a big part of their brotherly relationship is that, like, yeah, Wiccan can like bend reality, but Speed can like put a thumbtack on his chair, like in The Incredibles, like really fast. Like, ah!
What about yeah, go ahead, Brent.
Cities, LA, San Diego, New York.
Whoa. Okay. You know, this is so crazy, but I'm gonna put San Diego at the top of that list because I got to spend the summer there and it is a really beautiful place. It's great. Love San Diego. Lots of really great theater there. They have a really great theater scene in San Diego. Then LA and then New York. I love New York City, but when I will go back if Broadway calls, I will absolutely go back. I'll like find myself a little place in Hell's Kitchen, but whoo, I'm too tired for New York now. Yeah, and the winters are just brutal. I'm a lizard. I like need sunshine and warm rocks.
What's that joke from BoJack Horseman? It's like, New York is a wonderful place to live for exactly 5 to 6 months and only if you're really, really rich.
Correct. That's correct. Thankfully, I live there in my 20s. So like I didn't know any better. And I was like living in like 100-square-foot room. Like, no, it was honestly less than that a couple of times. Like another roommate of mine lived in a converted closet. It was literally like a twin size mattress on the ground. Crazy times. Ugh. What I did for love.
You know it was gonna come back. Darmon titles. So girl backstabs her best friend. What happened next is going to shock you. Rude stranger judges pregnant 51-year-old lady, instantly regrets it, and then students force nerds to do his homework. So no, those are dumb. I just want to read off more Darmon titles. Let's do languages, because you do speak several languages. So Spanish, French, and Italian. What's the ranking?
Wow, great. I have to put Spanish first because my life has been vastly improved because I speak Spanish. I learned Spanish when I was in high school. I took all the Spanish classes I could and ran out at high school because most of my friends, not most of my friends, but a solid chunk of my friends at my high school in, you know, just south of Denver in Colorado, their parents spoke Spanish because they were from Mexico, a lot of them. And I wanted to be able to communicate with their parents when we like went over for things. And oh, did they love that? They loved that. But speaking Spanish is, I think, a skill everybody should have. It makes me crazy when my academic tutoring students like say bad things about Spanish. And I know that most kids don't like it, but it's just so important. Then I'm going to put Italian because I love Italy. And I have been there many times, and it's such a great language. And Spanish and Italian are almost exactly the same language with slightly different accents. They are shockingly similar. And my Italian teacher at Yale always got mad at me on quizzes because he was like, "You speak Spitaliano," which is Spagnolo and Italiano put together. And I was like, I can't help it. It's what my brain's got in it. And then French will be third, mostly because the Parisians are always so rude to me when I go. I have a lot of French friends. I actually even dated a French aristocrat for a while, which was great fun. That was a fun life.
Ooh la la.
Absolutely. Yeah, but like the last experience I had with a native French speaker outside the US was in Montreal. And I was like ordering coffee, and I don't even remember. I heard her speaking French, and so maybe I tried to speak French to her, and I think she literally just went like, and then like just didn't even say another word. I was like, "Ugh, you're so rude to me." But I also go in for a lot of French because I speak French. I do a lot of auditions in French, and so I translate a lot of scripts where they're like, "Do this in French." I'm like, "Oh my god, fine, okay."
Love that. Well, sadly, this does bring us to the end of our Creator Crush. Nathaniel, thank you so much for being on. Remind our listeners of the easiest and best ways to watch and support Hulkling and Wiccan Love is Power.
Oh my gosh, I would love to. So my Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube are all the same. It's at Nathaniel Dahlquist, NathanielDahlquist. And like, please find me on there because it's been a really fun month, you know, releasing all the Hulkling and Wiccan stuff. There will be more to come. There's other, you know, other projects I'm working on, but I hope that we as a queer community can really band together with queer creators and people who want to tell stories who deserve to be telling those stories because it's their experience. Not that other people don't, but like, I want queer people to be able to tell their own stories in big ways in the entertainment industry. And I am like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get up there. And so everyone who follows and supports you, you're following, supporting, comments, you know, bookmarking, sharing, whatever, really, really means a lot to me, because that is like the only way that I can, you know, get to the place that I want to go. So really, thank you everyone for watching and for listening to this and for engaging with, you know, this stuff, because it's really important and we need to, we're supporting each other as we get to where we need to go.
Love it. Brent, where can people find us?
I don't know, Adam, where can they find us? they can find us on Twitter at Home of Superior X and Instagram at Home of Superior Podcast. You can catch our regular episodes, which release on Fridays, and plus our bonus extra episodes and creator crushes, which come out on Mondays. If there are other great writers, artists, or anyone nerdy culturalista you want us to chat with, just slide into those DMs. We've been Home of Superior. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, guys.